Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Point of View.
Legal matters.
With Ntabiseng Dubazana, who's in studio with us this evening. Ntabiseng, good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Nice to be back.
Always lovely to have you. So, guys, let's start now. Let's not call it like 10-2 or 5-2. I feel so bad. I always feel so bad when we, you know, we don't get to deal with your issues. And I understand that sometimes it's because some of these issues are personal. You can remain anonymous. You don't have to tell us your name. You can send a text if you feel you are uncomfortable. But Ntabiseng is always here to assist. So send those questions now. Absolutely any legal matter. We'll try and get it answered. 086-000-0959. You can send a voice note or a text on 063-688-0959. What are we discussing today, Ntabiseng?
So today I thought we always mention on what you as client should or should not do. We never talk about the obligations that us as attorneys have.
Yes.
To you as our client.
Yes.
And whether or not the law or any repercussions come our way if we don't adhere to all of these things. So I thought maybe let's flip it a little bit. So here is Pamela coming to Ntabi saying there's a matter Pamela thinks it is the best case on the planet. And she really wants to pursue this matter. What is the obligation of an lawyer. Attorney?
I've heard lawyers say, I take instruction from my client.
Yes.
And that is, I think, a very interesting concept.
Yeah.
In other words, I may be here saying to you, and actually, he gave me this look today. I want to pursue what that look was about.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you say, it was just a look.
Yes.
I say, no, I don't want that look again. You say, okay, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
I say, let's take it all the way.
Yeah. Which is actually
the
highest
court. Let's take it all the way.
Yes.
I want to teach him a lesson.
Yes.
You say, don't you think there are other ways we can deal with this? I say, no. I want to teach him a lesson. At that point, you do what? You just take the instruction.
And that's where the problem is.
I have heard, by the way,
yes.
Adding to that.
Yes.
A judge reprimand a lawyer very recently.
Yeah.
Saying, you, as a legal representative, should know that this matter is wasting the court's time.
Correct. Correct. So we have an obligation as officers of the court. So we're not just lawyers, attorneys, counsel, whatever.
Yeah.
We are also officers of the court, which means we have to uphold the letter of the law, which means we need to advise you, Mudibedi Luena, with the look that you'll be getting, that this is what you ought to be pursuing.
Yeah.
Right? And it's become so bad that courts are consumed with matters that could have been dealt
resolved
with.
Resolved outside.
With ADR.
Yeah.
And so much so that the judge president, I think, yes, he issued a directive earlier this year to say that do not set matters on the roll for a trial unless you can prove you tried mediation and it failed. It is now a directive because there are so many matters on the roll. But anyway, Ntabiseng's obligation.
And the courts are overwhelmed.
Correct.
Guys.
So people who actually have real matters are not getting
dates.
Are
not getting the time, yeah.
Because there's this backlog that is happening currently. So now you come to me with your story. What I have to first advise you is what the law says on your matter. And after I advise you what the law says in your matter, I now give you the prospects of success.
Wait. Am I obligated to tell you everything? No, there's an obligation and then there's the nice to have.
Yeah.
Am I obligated as the client to tell you, Hore, actually what I want to do here is to just teach Mudibedi a lesson.
Yes.
Not necessarily that I need to prove that I'm right.
Yeah.
Am I obligated to tell
yes,
you?
Yes, because then I know which way I'm supposed to go. Because if it comes out in the papers when they're now replying, then I am going to look like a fool because I didn't realize
yes.
what your intention was in the first place.
Yes.
So when you go to your attorney, tell your attorney everything.
When I say to you, I just want to teach my lesson.
Yeah.
What's your obligation as the attorney?
My obligation is to tell you that you want to teach him a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that the lesson is expensive. That's the first thing. Because I think attorneys tend to shy away from the costs of a legal suit.
Mm-hmm.
So be very frank and honest with your client to say, a lesson, the principle of the matter is very expensive. Is there any other way, like you'd suggested, that you can resolve this? If the answer from your client is no, then you go into the prospects of success of this matter. You say, okay, the law says this. Scenario one says this. If we go at it with this route, this is what's likely to happen. In that route, that's what's likely to happen. And in all these three routes that we've dealt with, the likelihood of you succeeding in your application is slim to none.
Except there's also the argument that there are lawyers who don't care.
Of course there are.
You've just said it's expensive, so bring it on. You want to go on a wild goose chase and pay me money? Okay, let's go. I know I'm not going to win.
Yeah.
And you want to teach someone a lesson? Okay, we can do this on your instruction and it doesn't matter.
Yes. So what the courts have now started doing is saying, you as legal practitioners, even if the client goes and reports you to the LPC, it doesn't deter you from taking on useless cases and then taking them all the way to the high courts, to the SCAs, etc. And yet you're wasting clients' money.
Yes.
Knowing for a fact that you're not going to win. So now what the courts have resorted to doing is ordering what we call cost debonis. So it is the highest level of cost order, but not against either of the parties, against you as a legal practitioner.
You? Oh, wow. So in the end, you may find yourself liable.
Correct. So this one case, it was, I think it was UNISA versus some other, I forgot what the other party was. It was a labor matter.
Yeah.
And labor courts rarely issue a cost order because most of the time they're dealing with an employee who hasn't had an income for X amount of months or years. And therefore, issuing a cost order, even if they lose, doesn't make sense.
Mm.
The matter went to the Labor Appeal Court, wherein there was an argument of employment. And at the end of the day, the court said, you as a legal practitioner, you sat down.
Listened to
all of this.
And
went to the law.
And
you said it's okay to the client to proceed with this. And then over and above that, you hired counsel. Not just you as an attorney. You went to go and hire counsel. And counsel did not reprimand you either. He continued with a case such as this. And because of that, all the costs that UNISA paid you to proceed with this matter, I think it was about 600,000, they should be paid back within 30 days.
Yo.
To the client.
Wow.
So it has gotten to a point, Yahori, if you're going to take on a matter as an attorney or as counsel, be very wary. Because you're going to end up with the money that you've been chowing while you were billing and billing and billing. Should the order be granted against you, and it was frivolous, it is possible that you're going to end up paying back the money.
Wow.
Yeah. So it is important also, like I was saying, that these are our obligations. So if you come to me as a client and I show you this scenario and then you still insist on it, as an attorney, I have a choice to one, tell you, I'm not going to proceed with this. Please find somebody else. And you can't take offense or go and report me and say that I don't want to take on your matter and whatnot, whereas I've advised you that it's not going to work out. Alternatively, if it's in the middle of the matter and then something else comes up, and maybe in the replies and stuff, I see, and then I advise you, based on their reply, can we propose a settlement agreement until there's a date for a trial or whatnot? And even before the date of trial or in the date, we can still settle the matter. Nothing prevents us from doing anything of the sort. And you still go against it. I always say, make your client sign a letter wherein it's detailed that the likelihood of success is slim to none, and you're going
so you
against.
You have recourse in case the courts feels that you are being frivolous.
Yes, and then you say you are going against legal advice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to ask something, but I'm not going to. I'm going to hold back because I'm going to find myself in trouble with, you know, politicians love going to court.
Oh, all the time.
You know.
All the time.
So that's the nature of politics.
Yes.
People politic and they go to court for absolutely everything.
Yeah.
Is it the kind of thing where the lawyer could say to the politicians, "I corner, I."
They should. There's a
I'm going to love seeing this happen for politicians. This
I actually think that's why this rule 421 thing was made a directive that you're sending everything.
Now I want to see something. I want to see something. All right, let's take a quick voice note.
Good evening, ladies. My younger brother was driving my mom's car, so he signed up for car track without my mom's knowledge. And then after some time, my mom took her car back. Not for that reason, for just she took her car back. Now, recently, because he stopped paying for that car track. Now, recently, car track, they're calling my mom, Barry, my mom have a kolota, and if she doesn't pay, then they will take the car. Mm-hmm. So I want to know, do they have any right to do so? If not, then what do we do on our side?
Sure.
Yeah, no.
Can they attach?
They can attach, but then if the car has gone back, there's nothing for them to attach. They might look for something else to go and attach.
I don't think it's the same. The issue is the car still in the family.
It was taken back.
Mm-mm. It's the family thing.
Okay.
So he
took it back from the kid.
Yes.
Oh.
So the person who was driving it was the one paying for the contract. So, but the owner is the mother.
Yeah, yeah.
So the mother is now driving her own car. And so the one who was driving it before was the one paying for contract.
Yes.
Contract is saying... Work all order.
Uh-huh.
I think it is similar to those
the
contracts. I think we've spoken about cell phone contracts.
Yeah.
Where the user no longer wants to continue, like a gym contract.
Mm.
He's not using it, so he's not paying.
Mm.
The owner hadn't had contract. She did not apply for this, I think.
Yes.
Just correct us if I'm wrong. And so she did not continue to pay. But the contract has not lapsed.
Correct.
So they are saying they will attach the car. Can they?
They can. But I'm also very curious to find out, even though the car is in mom's name, the contract, was it between the kid?
I think that's
the name on the contract. If it's the kid and not mom's, then it is very likely that, yes, unfortunately, they will attach that car.
Is it not that it was securing this asset?
So yes.
The asset is this particular car,
yes,
irrespective of who owns the asset.
Correct. So I was going to say that the LODs and all of that should not be going to mom because she's not the one that signed for the contract. But even with that, unfortunately, because the asset is specified to be that car, and when they trace it
from the service.
Yes, and when they trace it, it's under mom's name. Then unfortunately, there's nothing that she can do. So the kid must firstly go and formally cancel that contract. That's the first thing. Second thing, they have to pay. So they must enter
a cancellation fee. Also.
Yeah, yeah. The cancellation fee and the months that he has stopped paying because he owes them for that. If they don't have that money, they must enter into a payment arrangement where they can pay off all of this. But if they don't, yes, they will be able to make an application to the court to request that their fee be paid off by attaching the car.
I hope their relationship is good.
I hope so.
Because Wawona was there.
Matata.
Wawona was called Matata.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about your brother who's now going to pay for something he's not or was
using.
Not using.
Yeah.
But he had not looked at the T's and C's.
Yeah.
He had not looked at the small print. He was supposed to have informed them, I think.
Yes.
And come up with an agreement.
Yes.
To end the contract and how he comes out of that contract.
Yeah. Definitely.
Ask, please. Okay, let's take another voice note.
The only thing that I wanted to ask is I'm looking to be a conveyancer, and can she advise, you know, how to do that? I'm looking to do it, do the LLB with UJ part-time, because, you know, I have other commitments, but the aim is to, the next 5 to 6 years, to be a conveyancer. What avenues or what advice can she give to someone who wants to be, to do that? Thank you.
Aishem, first of all, I commend you for trying, for wanting to be a conveyancer.
Really?
I tried that. I never. It's not for me. There is just way too much to study and whatnot. But what you do is you're going to approach the LPC. They are the ones that do the conveyancing examinations. And then you will register with them. And then you have to also register with a class. I know there's certain people that prefer certain teachers that teach conveyancing in a certain manner. So you would find out from other people who've registered, and then you're going to write the exam through the LPC, and then you wait. Last year's conveyancing exam was so bad. Mm-hmm. In the entire country, only 6 people passed.
Mm.
That's how bad conveyancing is. Mm. It is horrible. And they passed at the 50. Mm. Not the 70, the 80. It was bad. So kudos to you. Yeah.
Yo. Okay. Let's have a look at the rights of the step parents,
yes,
in relation to the parent, to the children.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So we've talked a lot about biological dads. We've in terms of married and unmarried dads and moms, but we've rarely talked about step parents, if ever. And in the world that we live in now, there's a lot of blended families.
Yes.
So either both parties come with kids from a previous relationship, or one comes with that. So what does it mean in our country for step parents? Do they have any inherent rights or any rights whatsoever? Per the law, as it stands right now, the Children's Act and everything, parents, step parents, I beg your pardon, have no inherent right or responsibilities, for that matter, over a child.
Mm-hmm.
So let's paint a scenario wherein dad and mom come together. Dad ends up being a stepdad, and then they were married, or they were in a life partnership, whatever the case may be.
Mm.
When the parents part, does the stepdad have any obligations?
I think we had a case like that.
Does the dad have any obligations on the minor child? No.
So the difference here, and I'd be saying, we spoke about if there is proof, right?
Yes.
With a partner that you are maintaining this person, even though you didn't have a legal agreement, you're obligated to continue to do that.
You have a moral obligation. You don't have a legal obligation. But even with that, the partner can make an application to the court to say that there's a contractual agreement that may put you in a position where you're going to be forced to maintain this child, right? And what is this contractual relationship we're talking about? Let's say we agreed on a certain school together and we enrolled this child there.
Mm.
And as a result, you are the person who is signed off to be paying.
Mm.
So as a result of that, you will be obligated to pay.
Okay, so you are the one who committed anyway. This contract with the school was yours, and so you just have to stick to the contract.
That's correct.
That's the one thing.
Yes,
you can. Okay,
and then the other part is obviously the best interest of the child.
Yes,
so that's always going to be paramount. So even if the breakup was as amicable as can be, and you say, okay, I'm out of this child's life, the court may actually, by application, if it's, let's say it's in a divorce scenario, not where you're in a relationship. In a divorce scenario, the court may order that you continue care and contact with this child. In other words, continue a relationship with this child, because you were in this child's life for the past 6 years, 10 years, whatever the case may be. It may not be in the best interest of this child for that relationship to be terminated.
What about in the case of death of the actual parent, and the step parent is the one that remains?
So now that's where it becomes complicated, because if it was an actual marriage and there was no adoption, from the step parent's side, then the step parent does not have any rights over this particular child. So, which means the paternal, let's say that, the paternal side of this child, which is the biological father, the paternal grandparents, aunts, uncles, whatever, they would have right to be legal guardians over this particular child because you don't inherently have that.
And the rights of the child? The best interests of the child
will always be looked at. So once this matter now comes to court, and that's the thing, we have so many of these matters in court wherein it is exactly the picture you just painted. So now the court has to look at these new people in this child's life and then look at whether they can afford the lifestyle of this kid. So Section 7 now comes of the Children's Act now comes into play. The best interest of the child and consistency, like the norm of the child.
I get it. Osetting may not want to continue.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
So this person will be forced to continue.
Yes.
Looking after this child.
Yes. As long as the court deems it in the best interest of this child. Because just now, this child goes from Disabala. Hey! Oh, red thing for 10 years.
Yeah, because nobody hudulali the other parent.
And you created a bond in 10 years.
So you would be obligated remain in that relationship with the child if you were living with the child.
Yes. So if these parties now come and make an application...
Let's take a quick break. 086-00-00959. Let's take your questions. All legal questions are welcome. And you can also send them on
063-688-0959. Let's hear your point of view. Call now. 086-00-00959.
Call.
Hiya.
959.
On the street. On the air.
Hey, I've got a problem here. I've got this guy we met 38 to 40 years ago. He came to my parents and paid lobola. We've got three kids, of which the first one is 36 and the second one is 32 and the last one is turning 30. So what's happened? We separated, and then after we separated, but not for many years, like for 2 or 1 year, I can't remember well. But yeah, then he got himself involved with his ex-girlfriend or something, and then he paid lobola. Apparently, what I've heard from the relatives that they are legally married, and Mina, he just paid lobola to my parents, and he built a huge house for this woman, and Mina, I've got no home. So what I want to know, what are my rights? Should this guy pass on? Because I do have letter of lobola, those letters of lobola. And yeah, there was this ceremony, umembeso and the stuff on my side. We didn't do it at his home because we started fighting and the stuff, but we are okay. He was supporting the kids. Now the kids has grown up, and then what are my rights? He still supports me. What are my rights?
You're very lucky. You're also still being supported. That's very nice. But as we've always said all the time, the second marriage that he is now in, Akira, you said he paid lobola for the second lady. That is null and void.
For both. Yeah, yes. So Ustatilika.
Yes.
And then Abalathana.
Abayahu number two. So number two is not recognized in the law at all. She must just accept that.
I'm very confused about something. Maybe you understood it. She said something about the separation was maybe for a year.
I'm quite
confused about that.
It doesn't sound like they divorced. They just parted ways. And then he started a relationship with somebody his ex-girlfriend.
Else. So what I'm confused about is that, so he moved on, started a relationship, bought this person a house.
Yes.
Apart the lobola.
Yes.
Is he back with this one?
No, he's still that side.
With the other one, okay.
Yes.
So she wants to know what her rights are. Should she pass away?
Should he pass away?
Mm,
yeah. So if he dies today, tomorrow, next week, you are...
Marwa Mumente.
And also over and above that. So that's also something that she's very lucky about when it comes to this. She can prove maintenance. She's got kids, but they can claim for themselves. So we're not going to look at the kids at all.
Mm.
So, but in any event...
No, but they're now adults.
Yeah, they're in their 30s.
Yeah,
we're not
36,
going to look at them at all. So you have full rights of a spouse married in community of property. So with your lobola letter and all of that, you can go to the master's office and lodge a deceased estate claim.
After he passes on. What rights does she have now that he's alive?
She still has rights over all his properties. 50% of everything he has is hers. That includes debts, by the way.
Is there advice for her to go and lodge a divorce?
Correct. I always say that. If you want to be separated fully from this person...
She must file for a divorce.
Correct. Correct. Divorce properly.
Wait, this is an important part. Because sometimes she may be thinking, Wang Minti.
Yeah.
Ne? I don't want to ruffle feathers now. But she may be better off cleaning this up properly.
Yes.
So the court will then say he should pay you blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
Blah. Not you getting what feels like a favor.
Yes. So that way the amount that you're getting is an order of court. And then he'll be ordered that you've been doing it anyway for the past however many years. You've been doing your spousal maintenance duties. Continue with that. And then that's that, you move on. So if he passes today, or if you pass today, no one is claiming against anybody's estate.
Yeah. So she must take the lobola letter.
Yes.
File for divorce.
Yes.
He can either accept or ignore it. What must happen?
So once you've issued summons against him, one of three things. He can either respond and say he opposes the divorce because he says your marriage doesn't exist.
What am I trying?
Or you guys will be able to enter into a settlement agreement and everybody agrees how this it will be dealt with. That is signed. It's an unopposed divorce remnant. Or he chooses to ignore it.
Mm.
And if he does ignore it, you put the matter on the unopposed roll. The court will still grant you a divorce anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah. So that's one of the three things that will happen.
Except here, you state what it is that you'd like.
That's correct.
You say, he's been maintaining me.
Yes.
And I want a settlement.
Yes. So in your particulars of claim, you say, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want. And if he doesn't defend or anything with that regard, the court usually gives you what you prayed for in your particulars of claim.
Does it matter how long he's been separated from?
No. The marriage is still in existence.
Anyway, Motoahao, if you can advise them, if he does oppose this and becomes difficult, it doesn't matter because his current marriage means nothing.
Correct. 100%.
So he will want to fix that.
Yes.
And untangle himself out of this
hopefully
situation. And yeah, but it may take long.
Yeah.
If but difficult.
Yes.
Okay, let's take a listen to a voice note.
Dabi. Oh, Jehovah. You know, I have a life cover, and when I took it out, at that point, I didn't make any nominations, you know, of beneficiaries. Now, you know, yearly I go and review my will and, you know, all my policies and stuff. So this year I decided that I'm going to nominate beneficiaries on this policy. And I contacted the service provider. Then the service provider sent me a form to make nominations, which I did. But then suddenly they sent me, you know, message to say that nomination has been declined. And I feel that, you know, my rights have been infringed on because that policy is mine. I'm the one who's paying for it. And I'm the one who has a right to nominate whoever it is that I want on that policy. And I don't understand. Is this possible, though?
I wish I knew what the reason for the rejection was. Then maybe we can talk about whether they've infringed your rights. Remember, insurance also has its own laws on who can be beneficiaries.
Oh, does it take into account her other past contracts with another insurance, perhaps?
I'm not sure on that aspect. I'm really not sure. But maybe if she were to tell us what the rejection is, and then if I can't answer, I can go research
what the rejection is about.
Yeah, because with just saying I was rejected, I'm not sure how to advise, because I don't know what the reasons that they gave were.
And the rejection is to the one who's applying.
Yeah, she's just for the one who's being nominated to be a beneficiary in the life.
Criminal cover. Record, does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter.
Hmm. That's odd.
It is.
That is odd. Because if she, as the client, yeah, was rejected, I do think that they do vet you in a way. There's a vetting process. Mm. If you have become, and I'm not saying that's your story.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you have been one of those serial claimants, they can reject you.
Yes, because they see a pattern.
They see a pattern. Yeah. They can reject you. And if there has been a previous issue with another insurer, they can reject you.
Yes.
But the beneficiary, I think, is...
It's odd.
But hang on a minute.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is law, but I also know now that I think the law does prevent you from multiply insuring somebody.
Yes, that one is true.
Yeah.
That one is very true.
Yeah.
But in this situation, she is the insured. So the insurance, the life, yes, insurance comes when she dies. So the beneficiary is not being insured. So it's, for example, if I were, yes, to cover you in a funeral cover, with, yeah, this particular institution, and then I cover you in another and another, yes, and another, they're going, yes, to limit, see, that, because you are the insured, but I'm the person who opened this insurance on your behalf. But if I am the one insured and I'm saying you should benefit, they can't reject a beneficiary because they're not being insured. Do you get what I'm
except
saying?
Except, yeah, if Ntabise has insured her, the same person, multiple times with different policies multiple times, they do reject it now.
Yes, that, yeah, one I agree with you.
So maybe that's what's happened here.
But in this situation, it's a beneficiary. It's not an insured person. Akira Insurance, basically what it says is that in the event of Ntabi Singh's death, Pimelo will get 100,000 per the cover that she has.
Mm.
That's the life insurance. Mm. In a funeral insurance, it says Ntabi Singh took cover on behalf of Pimelo, so insured Pimelo's life.
Mm.
If Pimelo dies today, I, Ntabi Singh, receive money.
Mm.
But now I've covered Pimelo in the Kaya FM funeral policy, the Dubazana funeral policy, and so she is insured in different policies, but I'm the only beneficiary in all these aspects.
Mm.
But with what she's saying is that the insured in this situation is not Pimelo, it's me. So you only benefit from the insurance and not you being the insured. So it still doesn't make sense why they would reject the beneficiary instead of the insured.
Hmm. Okay. I think there is a voice note.
There was no reason written.
Then send an email. Inquire why there was a rejection. They need to explain to you.
Unless if it's medical.
But she's a beneficiary, or he's a beneficiary. It has no bearing. So ask, request for reasons. And then if you're still not happy, send it to the ombudsman.
Interesting.
Yeah, send it to the ombudsman, because it doesn't make sense.
Let's go to Ntata Selby. Ntata Selby, you're calling today from Orange Farm as usual. Hello, Ntata Selby.
Hello, Pamela and Ntabi Singh. How are you?
We're good. How are you,
Ntata Selby? How are you?
I'm blessed beyond measure.
Hey, well, Nanda, this will be. I want what you're having.
Yeah.
What's your question today or comment, Dr. Selby?
No, only Bruakumunga. Nara Tanali Wanyana, Wanyana Atola, car accident.
Yeah.
Okay. After Apatata, after Mamupateti, Uchori before mama patala patala lobola.
Okay.
Then
before car accident.
Eh, we put this logo after car accident.
Okay. Pile Rafi Patala, ne?
Pile Rafi Patala.
Okay.
Then after Rafi Patete, maybe after a while, Kiche Barba Doctor Baba Kangwana.
Okay.
The Rafi Kai guys, no colleges are. Carry operation treading more. Then gona le possibility ya hore a gotlele go rafo a claim more.
No.
For a ka tsola go.
O gobetse.
Yeah.
No. Hai fedile fedile and hangata nthongwe e tla ba problem ke prescription.
But also assessment initially to assess gore ba mo fa bokae should have been included gore that may cause her not to have bana.
And also, you could find that the medical report initially focused only on the injuries, not the effects of the operations to fix those injuries. So,
that's interesting.
Here, then, everywhere, the ribs,
so
the what?
She may have given consent to do maybe procedure that may have been risky.
Yes.
May have been.
And then as a result, it affected her in a certain way. So the claim would have been for the medical costs of that operation. It would have been...
Not the damages that may occur.
Yes, because at the time, this thing was that it is likely, there was no damages that were readily visible because so everything that was supposed to be claimed for that was caused by the accident has been claimed for.
Or the... It was an obvious decision at the time to say to save her life we need to do procedure X, Y, Z. She agreed with whatever risk.
Yes. And also we would need to know in the papers say her lawyers de-drafting when the medical report maybe there was somewhere in that report that says the likelihood of a pregnancy has been reduced or whatever and it was accepted by the court and maybe the amount from 2 million to 3 million so she now can't go back to get more just because she can't unfortunately have kids so now in the complications that you'd have to jump over and then over and above that key prescription if 3 years is if you deliver to it's too late for you to come and claim anyway so
that is LB or
you know
so moto batlang
plus minus 4 million ever muslim
so moto lang ki munna o o filang kare o tshitegile
ya ke mona o
wena wa o sa buile ene ke se that is it ai that is it
wena la uri ai
a kere ke brua gago that is it
ai ya la ke no fila o
ai that is it ai
o tsantsore ba tole
kena ka boholo that is it o moratile a morata e seng ka di condition because that is it let us
no you not complain no permanent I complain
oh o kholla wena bruru
I complain ora sa mat yena uri u bona hore ngono bo swa spetlele or ba e go rote accident fund gore e ketse tšhele
a kere ba mo feeling that
because o ka re a ba so tlhalose ko spetlele gore motho a ka se tlhola a tlhola bana due to the accident
okay
so it's likely case ya medical negligence here not with RAF and a little thing that also has a time frame so if they found out
hospital
so how about the case file and remember the doctor I mean hospitals I think they keep the file 5 to 7 years and if it's already over that it's a problem but yeah if you they want to pursue that they can go for medical negligence but 3 years higher fate.
Not in the way we understand that the CLP. Kiki kitabangwan. Brurwa ha ho ulela ngwana or ulela gore o lobotse motho o sa kgone go bana le ngwana.
A yena ora a wa re ka mo ka bana because
okay.
Wanya no yena o na e ngwana. Tsene pelo phila le o dula le bona. A yena ora na problem ga ngwana.
Ke kopa o botsa that this will be the lady o na le other medical issues.
Medical issue and elimina after accident. Ki depression.
You know why? Thank you, Dr. Selby. You know why this is an important question? What we understand the payment to be, I think, is an issue. A payment, DRF, is not a reward.
No.
What's here, Amujibidi? You know? Serious. This is serious. And I think it's important for people to get asi loto. Payment ya ref. Asi you're not lucky. Ne? It's actually supposed to be for the injury.
Yes.
And that it's supposed to compensate you for loss of income.
Correct. Correct.
Asi jackpot.
Yes.
Or a loto or luck or whatever. So when they quantify this thing, it should be scientific.
Yes.
Based on what the loss of income is, what the medical costs will be, those estimations. I just want you to elaborate a bit on that.
No, you're very correct. So usually what happens is that, let's say the claim is encompassing loss of income because of your injuries, you are now not going to be able to earn an income. There has to be an actuary report which can calculate how much you would earn up until date of retirement.
And in this sense, the why this is important is that two processes can happen at the same time. Correct me if I'm wrong. There is REF that will calculate scientifically what we've just said now. There's something else. You can pursue another case, right? Where you are suing if you want to sue whoever you've... So let's say Ntabiseng was the one who's negligent on the road. Or let's say the taxi driver or bus or whatever the case may be. You feel... Oh, I shouldn't have used them as a... you understand, Mr. Gering. I get a taxi or whatever bus company.
Yeah.
Public transport company. You feel was negligent. And as a result, you found yourself here. There's REF that will pay you as the state, right? But if you feel that you want to still pursue a case with entity X in Neo Transport, you can. That nothing stops you.
Actually, the courts have kind of curbed that. They say you can't be...
Double dipping.
That's correct.
Is it double dipping?
It is. Because the negligence, but for this person being negligent, the accident wouldn't have happened, right? And if the accident happens because of this person's negligence, the RAF steps into the shoes of this negligent individual. And then they compensate you for loss of income, medical expenses, and all of that. The only thing that you can claim for on this side is damages. So, like,
let's clarify what damages would be.
Your car was damaged as a result of the accident. Maybe you're like me, you wear glasses, maybe they cost 10,000 rand. You lost that. Correct.
Things.
Yes.
Not your loss.
Yes.
Of stuff.
That part, everyone will be covered by the RAF. Gambonana is only going to be for damages.
So, we've answered the grievance.
Yes.
So, as lawyers, ne? Those who then claim GoRef, then we need to understand what's itemized there. What is itemized there?
So it depends what the instruction is. I guess sometimes you're only going to be claiming for loss of income. That becomes easy. You can find a an actuary who will then calculate how much it would have cost.
Loss of income.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's easy. That's done and dusted. We move on.
Okay, let's say next exacerbate.
If unusa sebeti, then it's going to be loss of
ability to work.
To move, loss of ability to work. We list all of those things. Sorry. The likelihood of you
maybe I was going to get a job.
Correct. We look at your level of education. If we do like a metric, the likelihood of you working in high corporate is not very high, but you are most likely to work in this particular space. And therefore, this accident has prevented you from getting to that level, and this is what you could potentially have gotten. And then we go like, okay, maybe you are paralyzed from the waist down. So now it's the loss of movement. We calculate what that would be. Now what it we calculate how much it's going to cost to get you mobile. So the wheelchair, going to see a physio if necessary, or going to the doctor every now and again because you don't want to get DBs and the warts or whatever it is.
You know the issue here, which is what I think is the issue with many people. The issue of suing someone just because I wouldn't be here. Not the cost of medical costs, not the costs of loss of income, that I'm just annoyed. That, you know what, actually, this whole thing is an inconvenience. This whole thing has just messed up my life, and I'm just upset. I'm upset that I have to now be this person. Over and above the costs of medical interventions, over and above the cost of loss of income, because as Ndati Selby says, oh, depressed. I may not have known that I was going to get depressed, but actually I've just decided now. You know this whole thing, ne? This whole thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, someone must pay for it.
Yeah.
That's not something you can do.
No.
I mean. No. Let's take a listen to a voice note.
You know, the nominated people that I nominated to get my money are my children. And I don't understand why these people are saying that they have rejected my application and they didn't even give me a reason. And that is why I'm up in arms. I really am so confused, to be honest with you.
Unless if the rejection is not about the beneficiaries. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because she says she doesn't know why. Perhaps the issue is not about the beneficiaries. It's a rejection of the policy, but it doesn't say it's about. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but the policy she already has because she's paying it already. The life insurance already exists.
So the rejection kicks in when she wants to put the kids
as benefactors. So I maybe it's an age.
It may be an administrative issue. Oh, maybe
it's an age thing. I don't know. That's why I'm saying just write them, ask for reasons.
Yeah.
And if they don't give you those
reasons,
too
young.
Then refer them to Ombud. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. That could be wrong.
I don't know if you had a financial advisor who actually assisted you with this policy. They should explain to you.
Yes.
They have to explain to you what's the story.
What's happening.
Because they're earning that money by their commission.
Yes.
All right. Elias is in Clayville. Hello, Elias.
Yes, I'm listening.
Hello, Ndati.
Good evening to everyone.
Welcome.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Ndati. Go ahead.
Okay. The only challenge that I have, as I was listening,
isn't
that to all the individuals or them superior from me? You know what's happening? I had a head-on collision.
Okay.
It wasn't my fault.
Okay.
But at the same time, I haven't claimed. Because I know the other people wanted to benefit from my own ref. I only spoke life because I saw it fit for me not to actually claim from ref.
Okay, that.
But the fact that immediately now, when my sister saying, it's just that it helped me too much. I end up not even knowing what to say. Primal.
Yes, isn't that?
Please. I want to if Nwana Akaya. I always want the best. It's not about this. I'm living.
Mare, Elias, ka speed pela. Re fe potso ke eng because wa re batho ba bang they want to claim.
Putla hang hore ka mlo tedinge ka media via the different department. Tedinge e bona ba hana go di go itsamaisa.
Bo mang?
Madam speaker ke na problem ka gore mme yena okay ke ile ga se ra go le
okay
ke se ra go le mare okay prove everything that is nothing to be helped. It can't be helped. It cannot be, it's rejected.
Okay,
then we are speaking about monies. But a lot of those monies, yes. But let's be on my side. I'm not interested on my own interest. It's all about the worry. Okay, let's get Kaya listeners to get the proper questions and answers, and then not be undermined or paralogishwe in terms of lawyer systems or
you don't think they're getting proper answers?
No, they're not getting proper answers.
Or a lawyer are not the Elias?
No, I'm not a proper.
Yeah,
no,
how
I'm
do you know the answers are not proper?
You know what? I mean, for the one of financial sector, yes, I know.
So you but know for the answer and not.
Yes, yeah. What you are saying, if you wasn't saying, it is only bias.
Rukutlile papa, rukutlile ne. Rukutlile. Thank you. Let's quickly take a quick voice note before we go.
Good evening. I'd like advice on what to do when I took a child to her mother on November last year. The child has been staying with me since she was a child, since she was 1.5 years. Now she's 7 years, turning 8 next month. And in November, the child went for a visit and never came back. I went to the children's court and my matter, because the mother now says, I'm not the father of the child. Now they said, I must provide a DNA test before we can go on with the matter. I'd like to have an advice on that part, because we were with the mediator. The mediator said his office cannot enforce the process of DNA, because it's the mother who said the child is not mine.
Yeah.
And I've been staying with the child. She was not around since when the child was about 1 year, six, 8 months. I need to know what can I do now, because the next thing that I did, because I cannot be forced to do a DNA test when I'm not the one who said the child is not mine, or the child looks like me and all that. But now I'm supposed to be paying for a DNA test. What I did now, I just said to the social worker, to the guy who was handling the matter, you know, in Sizulu, when they say, Ingane as well, Nina. That's what I basically said. And I said, no, I'm going to take everything that were for the child and give it away, because the child has not come back ever since. And it seems like I'm not getting any assistance in that office.
I would say that please rather do the DNA test.
Mar, he must pay and he's not keen to do that.
In that case, then, like you just said, then you will just let it go and then, you know, don't support the child, don't raise the child, don't see the child. But I think from what I can hear in his voice, he wants to be in this child's life. So let the court allow. The court makes you pay. I think this, it went up, it's like 2 point something, or you can request to do it privately, maybe with Dischem or whatever. Go and do the DNA test, let the results come out, and if they come out showing that you are the father, then you continue with primary care, because you can prove that the child has been living with you all this time and the child is now missing school, blah, 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 blah. But you can only get the child back and have those rights
with the DNA test.
DNA. Yeah.
Askies, man.
Ish.
All right, guys. We'll be back tomorrow at 8. Thank you, Ntabi Seng. See you next week.
See you next week.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.